Philippians 4:5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at several different Bible principles tonight, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to learn what you have before us tonight. May we take it and fasten it to our hearts. May it help us, Lord, as we go forward in life, no matter where we're at in life. Lord, may we take these principles, dear God, and put them into our lives and help us to be better for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I've really prayed about taking the Wednesday nights in August and just spending some time going through some Bible principles that will help you in this matter of education. Our emphasis for the month of August is a heritage of Christian education. The Christian school here was started 5 years after the church was started, so I always remember that no matter what our anniversary is of our church, if you subtract 5 from it, we also are celebrating that many years of Christian education. So on our 40th anniversary of our church, we're also celebrating 35 years of that 40 years we've been involved in Christian education. And of course, it's been a wonderful and exciting part of our ministry here, and many, many young people have come up through it and been blessed and helped, and we're excited to be able to continue into our 35th year of Christian education. I've been involved in a part of that. I attended here, had the opportunity to attend here as a student. Started the Christian school my 11th grade year, so the last 2 years I was able to actually be a part of Blessed Hope Baptist School and attended as a student. And then when I was hired back in 1994, one of the things that Dad handed me just immediately when I got here was oversight of the school. We had about 17 students at that time, and we were going through a curriculum change and some different things, and he basically said, I want you to take the school, I want you to get it on course, I want you to dedicate a good part of your time to that. So I was able to take the school at that time and really learn it myself with a small group of students. How many of you were in the school when I came as in 1994? You can see I failed miserably. And some of the monitors were there, all right. So these are the two examples, and you can imagine that why I didn't last long in our school. But hey, you know, you work with what you're given, amen? Amen. And I'll be honest with you, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really mean it. I enjoyed the Christian education. I enjoyed interacting with the young people. I enjoyed learning them and learning where they're at and try to help them to achieve and to go forward. I took a great deal of pleasure out of just prowling around the learning center and figuring out each kid. I tell our teachers there's a key to every young person. There's a key to every young person. And our job is to try to find that key and help them and turn the lock and open up their minds and get them excited about learning. So I enjoy doing that. God bless the school. I took it in 1994 with 17 students and handed it over when I was done being the principal with about 70 students, and the Lord blessed it, and we worked hard to make sure that we not only grew the school numerically, but that the kids were getting a good education, and I enjoyed doing it. Now, having spent that much time involved in it as a student, and then as the teacher, and then as the principal, and now as the administrator, you spend a lot of time not just in a classroom situation, because I don't want to just talk about Christian education in the realm of a Christian school or a classroom. Because I think that the principles that make for a successful student, the principles that it takes, the attributes that it takes for someone to be successful as a student, those attributes and those character traits will follow you on in life. It'll help you to be successful in every other single thing that you do. And so when you study, and I've entitled the message tonight, The Art of Learning. The Art of Learning. There is a art form. There is a art to learning. And if you learn how to learn, that's not just going to make you successful in school. It's going to make you successful in life. Because the person that stops learning is the person that will begin to go backwards in life. I would encourage adults to listen very carefully. This isn't just to help our young people that are getting ready to start another school year. This will help all of us if we'll let it. And so I want to give you seven attributes of a successful student, or I'm entitling it tonight, The Art of Learning, How to Learn, How to Learn. And if you'll take these things, it'll be a blessing to you. One of the things that I talk a lot about in our arena of Christian education is something I've called this, I title it this, Prayer-Powered Productivity. You've heard the preacher talk about this before, but the first thing that you need to understand in order to be a good student or good at much anything in life is this: prayer plays a serious part in it. And so as a student, if you want to master the art of learning, then you know what? You have to connect prayer to learning. If the more that you pray, the more you're going to be better equipped to learn. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Everything. I think we've got it in our mind that there's some things that require prayer and some things that we just kind of look to God and say, hey, I got this. Well, let me tell you this. I read something the other day that I thought was convicting in my life. And it said this. It says, prayerlessness is a declaration of our independence from God. Think about that. Prayerlessness is a declaration of our independence from God. In other words, you know what? God, we don't need you in this arena of our life. Now, if you want to be a good student and you want to learn and master the art of learning, then you have to connect prayer to learning. There's something that every student can take into the classroom. It can help you this year. We actually spent one of our school years, it's been several years ago, we taught our young people how to pray seven times a day. How to pray seven times a day built into the schedule of their school day. And as we taught that and we began to help the young people to incorporate that into their lives, we immediately began to see some of those that were struggling in areas begin to become more successful in areas. I think prayer changes things. I think getting God involved in helping you with anything is a good idea. One of the things that I often say is if you take God out of something, is it going to be better or worse? Or if you put God into something, is it going to be better or worse? So listen, put God into everything. So I would encourage you to pray. Parents, pray for your young people as they go to school and as they're learning and doing their studies, but also teach them to pray because they need to learn that prayer powers productivity. And you say, well, how's that going to help me on later on in life? Well, you may not be at a desk learning, but you're going to be somewhere doing something every day of your life. And you're going to find out that if you continue to try to accomplish the things in life through your own power and through the power of the flesh, you're going to be frustrated a lot. But you know what? No matter what type of work you end up with in one of these days, if you begin every day and throughout the day stop periodically and ask the Lord, help me in this, help me to do a good job, help me to accomplish this, help me to be productive. You know what? And you learn to connect prayer to everything that you do in life, you're going to find very quickly that your life goes smoother and better and you're more productive. So one of the attributes is prayer-powered productivity. Let me give you something else that I would encourage every one of the young people to really begin to work on. And number two, the art of learning requires a mature level of mental focus. One of the things that you must begin to master in your life is your ability to be mature in this matter of focus, mental focus. If you want to be a good student, you've got to be able to focus on something. You've got to be able to put your full attention on something. We use a little phrase in our Christian school that we've just used ever since I've been here, entitled, and we say this often, isolate and concentrate. Isolate and concentrate. Young people, what you have to learn in life is to be able to take everything out that's trying to come into your mind, take everything out and push it off to the side, and focus fully on the task at hand. Daydreaming is an act of mental weakness. It's an act of mental immaturity. Okay? Sometimes you're focused on something. You're beginning to do something and you're starting to get it. And all of a sudden, about that time, here comes this thought. And next thing you know, you look around and 5 minutes have passed and you were, I don't know where you were, down at the river fishing. You were, you know, in a rocket going to the moon or wherever your mind took you. And then you come back, but wait a minute. You have to establish mental focus. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll look at verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5. This is an important portion of Scripture to teach us not only how to protect ourselves from wrong kinds of thinking, but also to help us make us productive when it comes to learning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number let's jump up to verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And here's the thought we want to pull out of this, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. One of the things that you have to learn if you're going to be successful in almost anything in life, but especially if you're going to learn properly and master the art of learning, is you have to be able to achieve mental focus. You have to be able to take those side thoughts that tend to rise up and want to take your mind where it shouldn't be, and listen, learn to put it into the obedience of Christ. To be mentally disciplined. To focus your full attention on something that you're doing and give all of your mental energies to that. And we can schedule so much time in class, so much time in school. We can schedule it. You can sit there at your desk and you can be there. But wait a minute, of the amount of time that you're there, how much of it are you really there? Okay? And to master a level of mental focus, to be able to focus in on what you're reading. And I say, preacher, but sometimes there's distractions. Welcome to life. Okay, but somebody came in the door. You don't have to look. But somebody, the teacher's answering the question over on the side of the road. You don't have to listen. Okay, really. It's mental immaturity to have everything that happens around. Listen, there's people that work in all kinds of arenas of life. And you know what? You go to the real day workplace, it's full of distractions. So what are you going to do? Tell the boss one of these days, well, you know, I just got to have quiet. You know, I can't focus on what I'm supposed to be doing when there's other people around and people are walking by and people are talking. Well, you can't function in life then. Okay, and so you have to learn to be able to control your thinking, to control your mind, to control your body. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Your mind distracts you, your body distracts you. You've got to fight against mental distractions. You've got to fight against physical distractions. You're reading to try to figure out how to do this algebra problem, and you get about halfway through it, and all of a sudden you think, your stomach says, you know what, who cares about this? I want a pizza. I just want a pizza. I can't concentrate. I want a pizza. Put my flag up. Can I help you? Yes, I'm hungry. Well, it's still an hour to lunch. I know, but I'm hungry. I just can't think because I'm hungry. You know, Paul said this. You know what? Your body needs to be... I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, okay? I need cookies. I need animal crackers and a juice. That's fine in kindergarten, but listen, you're in ninth grade now, okay? We don't have cookies and juice now, okay? You have to just... Okay, I'm thirsty. I got to go to the bathroom. Really? Isn't this the seventh time this morning that you have to go to the bathroom? Yeah, but I got to... Listen, watch this. After a while... Listen, I think we ought to build some desks in the bathroom at Blessed Old Bathroom. Some of you want to spend more time in a stall than you do in the classroom. And after a while, it has nothing to do with your body or nothing to do with the problems of life. It has to do with spending more time thinking about how to not do this than focusing on getting it done. A mature level of mental focus. Number three. Let me have you go to Philippians chapter 3. Let's go back to Philippians because I want you to see this. If there's one of the attributes that honestly just separates, I think, people that succeed from people who do not, is Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 14. Notice what Paul wrote here. He says this, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." A personal drive to accomplish. Now, one of the things that you'll have to learn, and let me just say, the things that I'm telling you, young people, it doesn't have anything to do with English, and it doesn't have anything to do with eight parts of speech. It doesn't have a thing to do with math. But listen, I want you to understand something. School and education, whether you go to Christian school, public school, or homeschool, school and education is as much about developing your character as it is in educating your mind. Because, see, if we can develop your character, then there's nothing in life that you cannot learn. You see, it's more important to learn how to learn than it is to learn. Did you get that? It's more important to learn how to learn than it is to learn. And these are the character things that will separate you later on in life. But listen to me, at some point, there has to be self-motivation. Okay, Paul didn't write, "Somebody else presses me towards the mark." He starts this verse with the word "I." And you know what? We already talked about praying and relying on God. But at some point, folks, God's not going to come down and pick your hand up and push you. You have to be self-motivated. And for some of you, this is a battle. For others of you, it's almost more natural in life. Some of you, I don't know what separates one kid from the other, but some of them are just driven. I mean, they motivate themselves. They look at a gold car and they see what they have to do. And I mean, it's almost like, you know, they drive themselves to accomplish. And listen, watch this. If that's not your natural inclination or you haven't done that in life, you need to start. You say, "Well, how do I learn that?" Well, you learn that by doing it. You begin to motivate yourself. You begin to control yourself. Okay? It shouldn't be a teacher that has to swing by every few minutes and bring you back from La La Land and get you going again. And listen, I've done it. I've been in the learning centers, and I knew that, listen, when I wasn't answering a flag, I knew that there's four or five students that if I wasn't answering a flag and I had just a few minutes, I had to swing by their desk. And I had to say, "What number are you on?" And I've been there 5 minutes ago, by the way. "What number? Where are you at now?" "Well, I'm on number three." "Well, you're on number two 5 minutes ago. Well, let's look at number two. Did it take you 5 minutes to get that?" "Well, listen, I'm going to be back in a few minutes. Let's pick it up. Let's pick it up." Now, it's okay. I mean, hey, that's what a teacher... I get it. That if I need to do that to get you through, I'll do it to get you through. But wait a minute. At some point, you shouldn't have to have mom standing over your shoulder. You shouldn't have to have dad standing over your shoulder. You shouldn't have a teacher. Watch this. You know what? You're not going to be very desirable in the workplace one of these days. If the boss says, "I've got a few minutes, I got to go check on, make sure he's still doing what I left him and told him to do." Now, listen to me. At some point, it ought to matter to you. At some point, you know, you ought to take some personal responsibility. I mean, I wanted to walk out of the classroom when I was in school every day done. Matter of fact, there was something inside of me that says, "I want to get done before anybody else gets done." Are you thinking about this? Where is that anymore? Where you drive yourself, okay? And so that self-motivation has to be there. And listen, it's an important character trait in your life to develop. And if you don't have it, you need to get it. Okay, there's no magic formula for it. There's no nothing. By the way, parents, there's only so much a teacher can do. Okay? I mean, honestly, I don't care whether you're homeschooled and your mom's doing it or you're in a Christian school and the teacher's doing it. You know, there's only so much a teacher is responsible for. At some point, you have responsibility in this. And so if you must learn to be personally driven to accomplish. Let me give you another one. Let me have you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, very familiar verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 10. And I think it's very important to take this one and partner it with the one we just talked about. Ecclesiastes 9:10 is, I think, a wonderful verse as far as giving you principles concerning just being successful in life. But Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. We talk about the personal drive to accomplish or to succeed or to finish. But wait a minute, that needs to be partnered with a personal high standard of performance. A high standard of performance. It's one thing about saying, I want to get this done, and then going forward and doing it as quickly as possible, but not doing it right, not doing it correctly, not doing it efficiently, not doing it... Listen, you know, you can get two or three pages done in your page, but if you then walk up there and score it, and 95% of it's wrong, guess what? You pretty much just wasted your time. Some of you are motivated to finish and try to finish, but you don't have a personal goal of excellence, high standards of excellence and personal performance. Now, here's the thought in the Scripture. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy mind. And so I want to have a personal drive to accomplish what I need to accomplish today, but not just to finish it, but to do it well. To set a very high standard for myself, to make sure that it's done, not just finished, but that I'm able to look at it, and it's something I can be proud of, it's something I can put my name on, it's something I don't mind people looking and seeing. And so that, again, needs to be something that you bring into the arena of learning. Now, when you get these things into your life, and you develop this character into your life, and you learn how to learn, again, you'll take that into the arena of your life, whatever God's will is for your life, and it'll help you all the way through that. Let me go to Proverbs chapter number 5. I'm going to hurry down through a couple of them so I can finish it up. Proverbs chapter number 5. I want to show you something that I believe is one of the most important things that I'm going to mention: prayer, power, productivity, a mature level of mental focus, being able to make yourself concentrate, isolate, concentrate, ignore distractions, focus on something with your complete mental energy till you finish it up, a personal drive to accomplish, some self-motivation there, but not just to get it done, but high standards of personal performance to make sure it's done in a matter that would be pleasing to God and as excellent as well as you can possibly do it. And then we get into Proverbs chapter 5. Look at verse number 11. Proverbs 5, number 11. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ears to them who instructed me. Now, this entire portion of Scripture, it's worth reading. Let's jump back up to verse 1. My son, attend unto wisdom, and bow thine heart to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her oil in her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. And this young man begins down in these lower verses that we read to lament the fact that he fell into temptation because of his flippant attitude towards instruction. Notice what he says, verse 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I, watch this, hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them who instructed me. Watch this. I think one of the great arts of learning is to learn to have a proper attitude towards both instruction and your instructors. You see the attitude towards instruction in verse number 12, and the attitude towards the instructors in verse number 13, and they're paired together. You need to, as a student, to learn to have a respectful and submissive attitude towards your instructors. Okay? And how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me? I think it's impossible to have a wrong attitude towards the instructor and a right attitude towards the instruction. And I also think it's wrong to have a right attitude towards instruction and a wrong attitude towards the instructor. You can't separate the two things. So let me encourage you. Listen, it's almost nigh well impossible to educate know-it-all kids. It's absolutely impossible to educate young people that walk in with an attitude towards authority, with disrespect towards authority, and with a rebellious spirit. I mean, it undermines everything that we're trying to accomplish. And so, gift that to your teachers. By the way, that's not just in school. That's not just at home. That's in the Sunday school classroom. Okay? In the Sunday school classroom, what you need to do is walk in there and you need to make sure that you have a respectful and submissive attitude towards your instruction. It's important for young people. If you're going to be helped at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you need to have a respectful and submissive attitude towards the pastor. And you have a submissive and respectful attitude towards your Sunday school teacher. And whatever class, whatever education you're involved in, you need to have a submissive and respective attitude towards those instructors. The minute that you lose that, it's going to affect not only your attitude towards the instructors, but the instruction. And next thing you know, you're not going to get what you should get, and you'll mourn at the last. And you've made your mistakes. And you know what he said here? How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? Now let me tie those two things together real quick. You cannot instruct without also reproving. Alright? You can't instruct without also... Well, you know what? My kid doesn't mind it when you're teaching, but he just don't like it when you get on him. Well, guess what? You can't teach without correction. Okay? There was a young man and I'd gone over and was trying to help teach some of the upper math a few years ago. And I was over there doing... I'm not sure what the deal was because I don't think I taught the whole year. I think Brother Rajrod plugged in to help for a few weeks while you were gone. I don't remember what the situation, but I was teaching. And this young man was struggling in algebra. And every time I would start to go over to help him, I'd see he was doing it wrong. And I'd say, listen, you've got this... You need to do this one over here. You're doing this wrong. And he'd say, I know. And so I'd walk away, and then I'd come over and say, now you're doing this wrong. Well, I know. And finally, I called him by name, and he looked at me. I said, you don't know. You don't know. I said, you're doing it wrong. You do not know. And there's this, I know. He's doing it wrong, but he don't want anybody telling him how to do it. I can't teach him if he can't take correction. All right? If he's full of pride, he's full of arrogance, he's got a know-it-all attitude, I can't teach him. So I looked at him, and he's looking at me like, he knows he's in trouble. I said, you don't know everything. Do you understand that? You do not know everything. I know things you don't. You know, you say, Pastor, you're losing. I was losing it. I know. No, you don't. Look at your paper. It's wrong. You don't know. You know, just like, but wait a minute, I'm going to tell you something. That wasn't just in algebra, that was in every area of his life. And you know what? Gets the point in time, I can't help the kid. I can't help him with math. I can't help him with life. I can't help him with decisions. You know why? He knows everything. Now what I'm saying is, young person, listen to me. Watch this. Guess what? We're paying the teachers. We're charging you. There's a reason for that. Okay? Because you're paying to learn, and they're being paid to teach. And if you're going to walk into school with a know-it-all attitude, don't walk in. Because we can't help you anyway. Okay? And so, amen. Some of you are smiling, shaking your hands, and some of you are giving that look, saying, Preacher, I know everything. I know you do. You know everything. You're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Good to go. I can't wait till you and life meet. It's going to be interesting to watch. Somebody pop the popcorn. We're going to have a good show one of these days. Proverbs 24. Go to Proverbs chapter 24. You want to learn? Then you have to have humility. You'll learn to learn. You don't know everything. You'll learn to learn. Learn to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes, sir, no, sir. You're right, sir. Thank you for helping me. I didn't know that. I know. Proverbs 24, verse number 16. For a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. You know, one of the things that I've noticed about successful students is this. They have an overcomer's spirit when faced with a setback. You know what, folks? You're going to find out that sooner or later you're going to get that paper back or that pace back, and you know what? Remember the first time you got a pace back and you'd taken the test and you failed it? You don't remember that. You never failed one, did you? Did you ever fail a pace in your test in your entire life? Nathan, really? It must have been before you got in my learning center, because I don't remember that. But I love this in the AC curriculum. I love it. By the way, there's a lot of things I love in the AC curriculum. It's good curriculum. It's good, solid curriculum. We've learned enough about it. We've used it for years. And we've tweaked it here and there. And we know where the weaknesses are. We've done it for a long time. We know where the strengths are. If you're involved in the people that are wandering around criticizing the curriculum at Blessed Hope Baptist School, shame on you. Okay? Every curriculum, I know every curriculum that's out there. Every one of them has its strengths and every one of them has its weaknesses, even the one that you use. So stop criticizing our school. Okay? If you're involved in that, you need to stop. Okay? It's good curriculum. It'll give the kids a good, solid education. Okay? But, listen to me. One of the things I like about it is this. If you didn't get it, you didn't really get it, and you take the test, and you didn't get it, you're getting that pace back. And you're going to take it again. And there's been students that have taken it 3 or 4 times. But if you don't get it, you're taking it again. Now, wait a minute. Think about this. Watch it. All of a sudden, you have that time where you get this test back, and you thought you're ready for it, and you've got a 55. That's not good. In case you don't know, 55% is not a passing score. Okay. Usually there's a letter beside the 55. Okay? And it's got a stick going like this and then two going out that way. All right. Now, watch this. That is the moment where we're going to learn something about you. You know what learning in life is? You know part of learning in life is failing? Part of learning is failing. Okay? And you have to learn how to respond to that. When you fail in life, let me tell you what pride always wants to do. It's got to be somebody else's fault. It has got to be somebody else's fault. So a kid walks in and he's got that, you know, little slip we send home informing the parents that they have an opportunity to do once again the pace. And I guarantee you 9 times out of 10, because of immaturity, the first thing that comes out of kids' mouth is blaming authority. Or blaming the teachers, or blaming a monitor, or blaming the principal, or blaming President Obama, or blaming, it's somebody's fault. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. If you fail, and you go down that road every time you fail in life, you're never going to get it fixed. Because let me tell you the truth about life. When I fail, you know who bears the bulk of the responsibility of that failure? Me. Okay, now if you can just say that, I mean, go in the mirror and say that, and say, you failed. And come back to school, we can help you. Okay, mamas, stop listening to that nonsense. Stop jumping on their team when they want to come and say, oh, I failed, but you failed because you failed. You failed because you weren't diligent. You failed because you didn't take the time, exercise the character. You hurried something. You passed over something. Tried to take a shortcut. A lot of reasons people fail. Watch this. Why is that important? Because their character's being developed. You know, I bet 35-year-old guys still can't admit when they're wrong. I mean, they're still out there failing, and it's still somebody else's fault. You're never going to get it fixed if you don't take personal responsibility. If Jerry Ross fails at something, it's my fault. Yeah, well, this person, maybe this person could have did a little bit different. That person could have, but I'm not, listen, it's my fault. Okay? And so, one of the things that you need to develop is this. For a just man falleth 7 times, but what? And folks, listen to me. You're going to learn more in life through failure than you are through success. Failure's not always a bad thing. If you learn from failure, it becomes a good thing. Okay? And so, okay, I messed it up. I didn't get it. I got to back up. I got to start over. I got to do this again. But I'm not going to do the same thing I did before. I got to make an adjustment. I got to make a change. I got to take this more seriously. I got to concentrate more. I got to study more. Hey, this isn't a gimme. This is tough. I'm going to have to focus. I'm going to have to get it. I can't half know it. And I'm going to tell you, when you get into that, oh, what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is, because it's setting you up for the rest of your life and properly responding to these things. There's an art to learning. Learn how to learn. That's the most important thing that school teaches you, is to learn how to learn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there's other things we could cover tonight, but Lord, we're going to stop there and ask, dear God, that you'd help us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us never to stop being students. There's so many things, Lord, in this life that's valuable, it's healthy and holy, and things that we need to know in life. I think of the Word of God, and Lord, I think about having spent, Lord, decades now studying it, and thinking to myself, even this morning as I was studying something out, how many years I've studied this book, and still how I feel like I've just scraped the surface of it. Dear God, there's no end to true wisdom. There's no end to proper knowledge and education and understanding. And I pray, Lord, that we take these simple learning principles. May we, dear God, not just acquire knowledge or learn enough facts and figures to be able to pass the test, but Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that we develop the character that we need, Lord, so that we can take that into the arena of life. Whatever your will would be for our lives, we pray in Jesus' name.